Hello there, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. And today, I am talking to Chris Horan, co-founder of Red Sneakers for Food Allergy Awareness Peoria Chapter. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, here on Community Voices, we like to get to know our neighbors a little bit. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
I'm from Peoria, Illinois. We're right in the heart of Illinois, kind of halfway between Chicago and St. Louis.
Excellent. Well, let's jump right into talking about our topic. I know we have a lot of things to cover today. So start off by telling us about Red Sneakers for Food Allergy Awareness.
Sure. Red Sneakers for Food Allergy Awareness is the first chapter of Red Sneakers for Oakley. Red Sneakers for Oakley was founded almost 10 years ago when the Debs unfortunately lost their son Oakley to an anaphylactic reaction. So they started a food allergy nonprofit to raise awareness, to help people learn more about food allergies and to prevent something like that from happening to someone else. A few years ago, myself and another family, the Spanglers, met and we started talking about food allergies because both of our children were recently diagnosed with food allergies. We originally just wanted to start a support group, but then as we were looking around on the internet for other food allergy support groups, we found Red Sneakers for Oakley. And so we approached them and said, hey, you know, have you ever thought about combining forces and forming, you know, like a chapter structure where essentially we would be your first chapter? And they were super interested in the idea. So we worked with them for about a year. And most recently, about a year ago, we became the first chapter of theirs in the country.
Wow, that's incredible. And it sounds like we need something like this everywhere. Now, you mentioned your son. I want to talk about his story real quick. I heard that peanut allergies were discovered when he was only 2 years old. What was that like?
Yes, it was really scary. So he's actually closer to 11 months, and it was essentially the first time we introduced peanuts to him. So he had a little bit of peanut butter, and he started to have a rash break out on his face, and his lips started to swell. And so we didn't know much about food allergies at the time. We just knew that, you know, whatever was happening was probably related to the peanut. So we just called, like, our prompt care and went there, later realizing that, you know, we probably should have just called 911 and gone straight to the ER because he was having an anaphylactic reaction.
What were some of the biggest challenges you faced earlier on when you were first learning how to manage his allergy?
It was just a whole lifestyle and information that we just didn't know much about. So we'd, you know, kind of heard of things in the past, but it's really different when you're a family that lives with food allergies because essentially, you know, food is everywhere and you have to avoid it. And so our initial stance with our first allergist was just to kind of avoid the food. But then as we learned more about food allergies, both through our nonprofit and other families we met, we became a little more interested in what's called OIT and got our son into oral immunotherapy, which he's in the middle of right now.
Yeah. Now, what strategies do you use when you're out eating? You know, it's really hard when you're on the road, you stop and see a McDonald's, you stop and see a Cracker Barrel or something. And I know for some people with extreme allergies, it's hard to just stop someplace and go get something to eat real quick. So what are your strategies to keep you and your family safe while, you know, just being out in society?
Yeah, well, the first strategy is we make sure we have our epinephrine with us. When our son was first diagnosed, that's the first thing we went and did was get the EpiPens. The nice thing now is there's products out there like Neffy, which we now have for our four-year-old, where it's a nasal spray, so similar to like a Narcan. So there's not the apprehension that some families might have with, say, like a needle injector, for example. And so for us, having that with us is the first thing before we travel. Initially, we weren't too interested in really trying too much of food just because we were learning so much about the allergies. But as we've gotten him into OIT and gotten more familiar with practices to keep him safe and found some places that actually have some allergy safe options, we've been a little more going out there and trying some food in restaurants, etc.
What advice do you have for families that will be out and about? Kids are going back to school. What should they have in an allergy like emergency kit?
Yeah, well, the EpiPen or epinephrine device is the number one thing that they need to have with them. And so that needs to be with the child at all times. And then it's nice to have redundancy wherever they're going. So if they're going to a school or childcare facility, that facility should also have something available. You know, ideally, you want that to be close by because when reactions happen, they happen quick and you need to react quickly.
And you mentioned a nasal spray that your son is using now. How has that changed how you all are responding to his allergies?
It's fewer things to worry about because what happens with needle injectors is there can be hesitation, right, from either a caregiver or even someone who's experienced could just be a little hesitant to, you know, is this really the reaction I should be treating versus, you know, the nasal spray we feel like kind of eliminates a lot of those concerns. It's also something that, it's easier for even the kids to use. I've kind of given it to my son and showed him how it works, and he kind of understands and can even explain it to my 2-year-old son. So it's been nice. The other advantages are the size of it. Yeah, it fits in the palm of your hand essentially and goes right in your pocket. My 4-year-old, kids have small pants, but he can stick it right in his pocket to carry. And then the temperature variance is nice too. So what I mean by that is with traditional EpiPens, they've got a pretty tight tolerance on the temperatures they can be exposed to. And so if it's too hot or too cold out, you've got to be careful to make sure you've got an insulated pack. And so that adds bulkiness. If you leave those devices in your car, you have to be concerned about, is it still going to work? And with Neffy, the nice thing is it's got the higher tolerances for temperatures. And people can go to neffy.com to learn more about exactly what those are and some of the benefits.
Advancements are so important in the medical field in general, and so I can see how it's important here. Now, we've been talking a lot about the parental approach to allergies and how you all responded, but how's Brody feeling? I mean, how does he deal with having allergies? Because, when you're a kid in school and somebody's bringing cupcakes or pizza and you may not be able to participate, I know that may not be the most fun thing. So how's your son doing?
He's doing pretty good with it. He's starting to understand a lot of that. We've been, as a food allergy parent, you have to talk with schools or parents, if you're going to a party of some sort, kind of way ahead of time and prepare them for the fact that your child has a food allergy and try to find a creative way to include them. The simplest way may be just to eliminate food from the activity. But then if food is going to be involved, finding treats that are accessible to anyone so that, you can kind of consider all allergies and make sure you've got something that's either top nine free or that just doesn't have the allergen of the child that's participating. So we worked really hard on doing that, but there are still instances where, maybe he can't have something. And he's starting to understand that now, like, oh, it's got peanuts. I can't have peanuts, So he can start to voice that. The other thing that we do as a family and as a nonprofit is we make sure to get children's books about food allergies to libraries and schools so that kids can start to have conversations and read stories about that. The nice thing about Red Sneakers for Oakley is they've got that really identical symbol, red sneakers, and that's kind of a tool that's used as an icebreaker. So they have t-shirts that say, "Ask me why I wear red sneakers," right on them. And that's an icebreaker for someone to ask, "Well, why do you wear red sneakers?" And then you can start to have a conversation about food allergies. And so my son has already internalized a lot of that messaging and wears the red sneakers on purpose and identifies when other people do it to support them. So it's nice to build that sort of marketing, if you will, and that branding at a young age, because then the symbology becomes identifiable even to the youngest of children.
I know someone that has a child with severe food allergies. They are pretty much allergic to anything you can think of. And I know going to school was hard for this child, but what they started doing is when they would know that there was going to be a classroom party or something going on, they would make their own version of pizza, cupcakes, whatever it is, and have the child bring it to school so they can still be a part of it. Well, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's that parent's responsibility to come up with some accommodations, or is it on the school or the other person that is providing the party?
In the case of a school, especially if it's a state school, it should be on that school to make, the accommodation. Food allergies are considered under the Americans with Disability Act as an invisible disability. So essentially, you've got to provide equality to that child. And so the way we've handled it with our entities we've worked with is basically something that's prepackaged and has a label right on it that has the ingredients right on it. That's under the USDA. So that's got to meet the laws of the state and the country that they're required, if it's a top nine allergen, to identify it. So if your child has a top nine allergen, prepackaged food is the way you can protect them. Now, if your child has an allergen that's outside of that realm, then it may be, doing more creative things like taking food out of the equation, for example.
Yeah, I could see how that could be an issue. And what you're saying about the prepackaged food would help to eliminate a lot of those barriers. And something else I wanted to bring up too, I am a Disney girl. I travel to Disney a lot. And one thing I find parents saying that it is easier to accommodate their child's allergies at certain restaurants in Disney or just other places around the world. Have you found any place in Illinois where they're really accommodating allergies really well, or somewhere you eat locally that you really like?
Yes, yeah, so we've actually actually one that's one of our initiatives is we work with some local restaurants and even a coffee shop here in Peoria, Illinois. And essentially we go through and we train these facilities to be prepared when someone with a food allergy comes in and protocols for how they should react. And we're essentially what we're doing is we're looking at laws all across the country that are starting to become implemented and making sure that the facilities that we talk to are aware of those laws and implement policies that reflect those laws so that they're protecting themselves and the allergy family. The other redundancy we add on top of educating the staff and helping with the interaction between the families when they come in to eat is we also put undesignated epinephrine in the facilities. So, if there is a reaction or an accident of some kind, they've got the epi right there on site and they can administer something and take immediate action.
That's really good. My husband works in food service and he talks about all the time how he has to train his staff how to make sure you change your gloves, make sure you change the knives, the cutting board, whatever you're using, because you never know how severe an allergic reaction can be. So I know firsthand how important that is. But do you have any advice for schools, camps, institutions, or other places that can support children with severe allergies? Do you have any advice for them to how they can do better when it comes to accommodating?
Sure. Well, one of the things they can do is just go to our website, redsneakers.org/Peoria. On there, it's got information about the services we provide. And one of the things we do is we go into those schools and we train them. So our co-founder, Lindsay, goes in and she's just starting to do it right now because schools are starting back up. She goes in and she gives them food allergy training so that the staff is aware of the food allergies and then how to treat a reaction and what a reaction might look like. And then in the state of Illinois and in other states, schools are allowed to have undesignated epinephrine on site to treat an emergency. So she helps them procure that undesignated epinephrine so that then they can have that extra layer of protection.
As we head into the school year and as Halloween is coming up, as Thanksgiving, Christmas, all these great holidays we love to enjoy, are there any surprising foods or drinks that parents should be especially cautious about?
Yeah, I mean, just in general, I think what you and I were just talking about before, the tricky thing with holidays is that a lot of times people, they make homemade stuff, right? And so if you're a food allergy family, it's a challenge to go to a large event. Multiple people are bringing in dishes that have been prepared, and you may not know their level of education or safety that they've put into that dish and how likely or unlikely an allergen may exist in that particular thing. So a lot of times what families will do is just, maybe either not participate or take the food out of it, or maybe bring a pre-prepared option for that child. Or you could, make it so everyone's involved and just have everyone eating, prepackaged certain items, maybe like the dessert or something is just a prepackage that everyone opens up and has so that it's all inclusive.
Absolutely. Now, you all have an event coming up. I know you'll have like a walk or a run coming up in October. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we call it our Teal Pumpkin Fall Festival and 5K walk run for Red Sneakers. So essentially, we've kind of got a couple of things happening there. The first thing we do is we kind of get everyone together in Peoria Heights at Tower Park. It's always the second Saturday in October. We meet up at the tower and we have like an allergy talk. So we'll have a guest speaker come in and talk about food allergies. And then we'll start off our 5K or walk run, whichever you're comfortable with. And there's a 1 mile option too. And we've got Grandview Drive here in Peoria Heights, which has been quoted by a former president as the most beautiful drive in the world. So we're proud of that and we have our event there. So you get to participate in a timed run if you like. And then at the end of that, you come back to the plaza and we've closed off the street this year and made it even bigger. But we have a Teal Pumpkin Project Festival. And so the Teal Pumpkin Project comes from FAIR, that's Food Allergy Research Education, FAIR.org. And they started the Teal Pumpkin Initiative about 10 years ago, but it's a more inclusive way for families to participate in Halloween. Halloween's traditionally been based on treats, right? But there's all kinds of little trinkets and things you can offer kids instead of food that makes it inclusive for all. And so that's what the Teal Pumpkin Project is about. And we have a free outreach event that allows families to come and learn about that and also allows our food allergy families to come to an event that is, safe for them to attend when in some cases they may not feel safe because of foods that are available at the events. We try to make ours safe for food allergy families to come and have a fun day with us. We get pumpkins donated and then we paint them up teal. And then what you do with the teal pumpkins is you put them on your porch to let families know that you've got alternatives for food allergy people.
Well, that's really smart. I like that idea because it is scary in this day and age with the trick-or-treating. You never know what certain people can have. So having that teal pumpkin really is a really good way to advocate for such a good cause. Now, Chris, as we wrap up here, I guess the final question I will ask you is, what are your hopes for the future of allergy treatment and awareness?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, a big initiative we have here in Peoria, we're about to arm our entire Peoria Police Department with epinephrine. And we will be among the first in the country to have a police department that has a first responder that have epinephrine on them. So, that will protect over 100,000 citizens here in Peoria, Illinois, and anyone who visits our area. And they're really the first people to show up when you have an event. And so, it's going to provide amazing protection. So, we're doing that here at the end of the month. We're training them up and giving them the epi. And it's very exciting. And that is the amount of value of epinephrine that we're giving them is the cash value, if you were to do it without insurance, is like $75,000 in value. So it's significant. And we want to use that initiative to discuss the Annie LaGuerre, the Annie's Law that's here in Illinois that allows other police departments to do the same, and also Geo's Law that's looking to move the conversation nationally and help fund all police in the country to have epi on them. The second thing you wanted to talk about was a treatment. So my son is doing OIT, and one of the things our nonprofit is doing is helping to bring those treatments to the Peoria area. So just last week, a new facility opened up. It's a combination of our son's doctor who works at MASA, and then another nonprofit, Yellow Bear, and then our nonprofit Red Sneakers have all come together to put together a facility that allows for these food allergy treatments like OIT that my son is doing that are really effective.
Well, Chris, I just want to thank you for sharing about treatment and what you all are doing to bring better awareness and just to help anybody that has their allergy, because it's not just kids. You can form allergies as adults. I am learning that as I am getting older. So I just want to thank you. And before you go, can you give us the website one more time so people can learn more about Red Sneakers for Food Allergy Awareness?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of websites to remember. RedSneakers.org/Peoria to learn more about us. And then the nasal epinephrine that's new out there, neffy.com to learn more about that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on Community Voices.
Thank you so much.
If you missed part of today's show, you can listen again tonight at 10 p.m.